a major festival, from what I can tell, in the U.S. has never been, especially a camping festival, has never been fully loaded and then fully not loaded within a 24 to 36 hour period. You know, candidly, the first question was, can we ever do this show again?
Over 90% of the people that responded to that survey told us that they would come in 2026. 90%. Yeah, do you actually want some like corporate bigwigs like making your festival, or do you want like a bunch of idiots like us doing it?
First Bonnaroo 26 confirmation, I'm saying it.
Here, hold.
All right, welcome back to the What Podcast. This is going to be a very special edition. You probably recognize everybody on the screen, but if you don't, I'm Barry, that's Russ, that's Brian, that's Corey, and that's Brad. Brad and Corey from C3. What do you guys want to talk about? Anything going on?
Just got back from Lollapalooza.
That's the first thing on my list, Brad. Yeah. And say Lollapalooza looked like it was absolutely rocking.
It was a lot of fun. It's crazy. Nice. Big year. Lots of big artists. Lots of Chapel Roan moments. Doechii, Gracie Abrams. Really big daytime crowds. It was fun to see.
Nice.
I didn't go. I stayed home.
How's that baby, by the way?
She's awesome. That's what good. I was doing. I was doing family hangs.
Good for you. Good, congratulations. Good. All right. We obviously are here. I was joking. We are obviously here to talk about Bonnaroo. It's been, month and a half. In some ways, it seems like a half a year. And in some ways, it seems like it was last week, right? Is that about how you guys feel?
Yeah.
Yeah. We have questions that people gave us on our Discord that we want to get to. We talked yesterday, Brian and Russ and I talked yesterday. There's lots to talk about, but a couple of main topics we want to get to. Sort of quick recap, if we can, of that Friday, I guess. And I'm interested in the week and the 2 weeks after and what was going on then. But also some announcements that you guys made regarding 2026. We are coming back with some changes, and I know from the Discord, Tuesday changes and Thursday changes seem to be the big ones, so I want to make sure we get to those, and then whatever else time we have, we'll fill it out from there. So if you guys don't mind, and I hate picking at a scab, but talk us through Friday.
I'll do this, and I'll handle this, and I'll make it as quick as possible, because I've had to have this conversation far too many times. Not that I don't enjoy it. Not that I don't enjoy talking to you guys. Yeah,
Brad,
yeah.
This is the most listened to podcast on the internet, man. This is the place to do it.
Man, as soon as Theo Vaughn finally answers mine or Corey's emails. So here's what I'll say. I'll try to dilute it down to a few succinct points. One, every single thing we do revolves around safety, period. End of story. There's no color commentary needed. Every decision we ever make, at the base of that decision is safety for the fans of the show. When it comes to decision-making, the small group that Corey and I are in that go through these processes when we have these types of events at shows, not just Bonnaroo, any event, period. The lens we're using is safety, and what you have to understand is we become like attorneys. We have to deal with every what if. We have to deal with the 1%. We can't just go with what the likelihood is going to happen. We have to go with what are all the possible outcomes and scenarios. And we have to evaluate all those outcomes and scenarios and make a decision based on how we can handle or maneuver or get through any of those possible outcomes. And for those of you who have watched any documentary about an event that's gone very bad that might be on the internet, Firefest, Woodstock 99, you can see that things can just get out of hand very quickly when you have a large crowd like what's at Bonnaroo. And when you get into 30,000 cars parked on grass and the ability to potentially not service restrooms, get clean water, get food to people, or even get people the ability to leave on their own accord without having to tow them out of mud. That's when things can just get really hairy. And so I hope that people listening to this kind of understand all of the nightmare scenarios that we have to go through, and also understand that what our team went through has never been done before. A major festival, from what I can tell, in the U.S. has never been, especially a camping festival, has never been fully loaded and then fully not loaded within a 24 to 36 hour period. So to some extent, we have these plans and we sit at tables and we talk through all of these things, but you all know having to do a plan versus talking about one is two different things. So we won't, you know, unless you guys really want to, I would prefer to not get into things today that maybe people think we did wrong, but just know that we were doing it in real time. And the things where we think we did wrong, we've made notes and we've made changes to how those plans work so that next time we don't do it wrong. That's the way I'll probably summarize all of that easiest.
One quick follow-up on that, Brad.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go too far into this because we're going to talk about more of the future than the past today. That's what we discussed yesterday. I think that's a good idea. But we all knew that because Tennessee and the Southeast has been just very unpredictable this year. Lots of rain, mild temperatures leading up into June. But it looked like we were going to have a bit of a wet weekend. I mean, everybody was pretty much gearing up for that. When did you and your team start to feel like, okay, this is probably going to be a problem?
I think it was something that was happening in real time. I mean, everybody knows we had a very wet May. And I think going into the show, wet May plus a day or two of rain was not a calculation that we thought was going to be to our detriment. But in the middle of it, a wet May plus 2 days of pop-up storms that were completely not what the National Weather Service had told us was going to happen, and them telling us that there was potential for rain for the next 10 forecasted days, was really the whole picture that you have to look at in that scenario. It's not just about getting a little rain on Thursday or Friday, and it's not just about getting a little rain on Thursday or Friday with a wet May right before you. It's about wet May, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like that is really what the big picture and the full puzzle was to look at. So I appreciate the question. Yeah, it's a lot of a very complex situation to sit in a room and navigate in real time with, you know, that many people sitting out in the field waiting on you to make a decision. So
I would also add to that just really quick. Like on Tuesday when we started loading the site, you know, we had crews out there kind of triaging a couple, you know, spaces that were just a little bit wet. And, you know, to us, that was kind of like reviewing the grounds. We're like, okay, things are like looking really great out here. Like the farms held up well. And then we were going into a stretch of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of dry, sunny weather. And so I think all of us were just like super optimistic. We're like, sweet, we've got the window where the grounds can dry. You know, we're looking at maybe an inch of rain over 3 days. We're golden. So that's kind of what we were looking at.
Yeah, and I just want to make a comment for the record, because I think I've heard it come up a couple times. I know that you guys know that the reason that we held doors was not because we needed 2 extra hours for the grass to dry. Sometimes we just need time for our team to finish up what they need to finish up before we let people get on the property. So we weren't naive to think that by pushing doors on Tuesday to get people in the campgrounds that that we were going to solve all the world's problems. We were just giving some of our teams that were behind some time to catch up before.
I don't even think we ended up opening like 30 minutes late or something. I think we were like basically open on time.
Yeah.
You pretty much were, yeah. Because we were sitting around at Common John that Tuesday. And then, when word broke that it was open, we were like, let's go. So, yeah, it wasn't the full 2 hours, I don't think.
No. I remember having teams, like, ready to get out there and, like content teams, like, capture people as they were coming in. And we had to kind of scramble because we got the call, like, hey, we're actually about ready to open. And I was like, oh, word, okay, cool.
All right, so moving on. You make the call on Friday. Pretty much everybody's gone by Saturday as far as, like, patrons, but you guys still have a lot of work to do, and it's still very wet. At what point does your team, can you start looking to the future? You start planning for next year. I mean, I know you're probably in your head, you're already making notes and all that, but, like, official, when do you guys sit down and say, all right, what do we get? What about next year? What was the conversation? Let's start there, because there's a lot of speculation.
I think the first thing is just, like, you know, one of the things in, like, some of the stuff that we've put out there since the cancellation was, like, trying to give our fans a little peek behind the curtain as to, like, who we are. Like, not just me and Brad, like, you know, the extended C3 crew and the, you know, the folks who are contracted that have worked on this show for 15, 20 years on various elements. Like, it was really sad. Like, sad is, like, not even relatively close to being the right word. Like, people just walking around back there doing their jobs with no expression on their faces. Like, just...
Yeah, like, everybody's dog just died.
Dude, it was like, I mean, it was like one of the most traumatizing things that, like, I've ever been to, that I've ever been through, which sounds kind of silly because obviously it's a music festival, but it means a lot, man. And, like, I don't know if anybody was able to really think straight for a few days on our team. So, like, just to say, like, we were going through it with everybody in a big way. So that, like, I don't know. I don't remember when we started thinking about the future. It definitely wasn't the first couple of days.
Yeah. I think the word Brian uses, soul crushing, and that seems to be the one that it was for all of us. I mean, you know, I think we did a show quickly because we felt like we needed to, but even I remember saying, you know, let's don't speculate too much. It's too early. It hurts for everybody. And if you're mad, if you're sad, if you're whatever, those are your emotions and own them. And you deserve them.
When I went and told the larger team what we were about to do and that their next 48 hours were going to be real shitty, you know, I had to hold back a lot of emotions, and I went and sat and closed my door in my office and cried by myself. I mean, that, and it's not about me, it's not about Corey. It's like, we really care, one, about how much work our team puts into this show, but how much we know it means for the fans, and that makes it so much harder. And, you know, Barry, to go back to your original question, you know, when we started thinking about it, after giving ourselves just a beat to process what was going on, you know, candidly, the first question was, can we ever do this show again? And that wasn't about, you know, one particular metric. It was about everything. Fan sentiment, a business decision, two cancellations in 5 years due to weather. You know, can we ever get insurance coverage again? Like, that, like, there's a lot of things that go into that. And the first question was, can we even do it? And if we can do it, what does it have to look like? Does it need to change? And that kind of led to, I'm sure, some of the other things you're going to want to ask us about. But, you know, we had to really sit back and take everything off the table and put it back on the table again and make sure it made sense in that moment. So that was like the 2 weeks, I would call it, 2 to 3 weeks right after the show, that we were going through all those conversations internally.
I mean, you mentioned the two weather events, but you also had COVID. So you guys, with this event in particular, and you guys are the best in the world at what you do, right? I mean, so you've had some experience overcoming something pretty major. But I was interested, you said just a minute ago, like, kind of, how did that go? When you guys did get together, is it like, okay, blank slate, start over? What do we know works? What are we unsure of? What do we need to talk about? Is that kind of how it went?
Yeah, and I don't want to be the only one talking here. So Corey, like, feel free to chime in whenever you want. But you know, something, this is going to be a little bit inside baseball, but, you know, when we, Corey mentioned that we were, after the cancellation happened, we not only wanted to humanize our team, which we thought was a really important element because that's what we are. We're just humans trying to do the best at a career that we think we're really good at. But we also wanted fans to feel like, it goes back to what I've shared with you all about the talent census, right? We make a lot of assumptions on our own without actually asking the fans. And so when we started doing these improvement surveys and the date surveys and all of that stuff, for me personally, it wasn't necessarily just about the answers to the questions. It was about a general pulse check on if people, I don't know if I can curse on this podcast, but it for me, it was like, you know, are we going to put this survey out there and 50,000 people are just going to say, fuck you, I don't care about any of the answers to these questions. Because the thing that was different between this and 21 was we didn't bring everybody in and give them the best Thursday of their life and then tell them they got to get out. That's a completely different scenario from right. a customer service standpoint.
Right.
So I think we really were trying to evaluate what the actual sentiment was, because it took us 3 years to recover from the 21 cancellation from in September. From a customer service standpoint, just getting people to trust us that they could come to the show and buy a ticket, and they weren't gonna end up in a bad spot. And now here we are, back in a bad spot, a worse spot. So how quickly can we recover from it, or can we recover from it at all, really?
Yeah, Corey, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that too, because you're coming from the marketing angle, and that's going to be something I would imagine you guys spend a lot of time on, is how you get this out to the people, how you spread this message. I know you guys all work in tandem, but I'd love your thoughts on that too.
I mean, I think we immediately dreamed up every scenario you could imagine for possibly moving forward. And then we needed to kind of start figuring out what was realistic. I think what Brad said was, I mean, we knew that with the type of community that we have with Bonnaroo, where everyone feels like this thing, or at least a piece of it, is theirs, that everyone needed to be involved in that decision. And the only way that we were going to be able to come out of something, you know, so heartbreaking, was to have everyone, meaning the community, us, the fans, everyone, feel like they are part of deciding to do that and then letting us make it happen. So I mean, I think this idea of doing these surveys, like Brad and I did a couple of years ago, kind of asking more about talent and overall experience, kind of just popped to the front of mind. And so, you know, we took some time to look at how the weather event happened, and, you know, what we felt like the chances of it happening again were, how abnormal it was. And, you know, honestly, if there was a different time of year that made more sense to do the show, June is one of the driest parts of the year in the region, every year, historically, on average, etc. That late September, early October time frame is the driest part of the year. The only catch is, up until late September, you sometimes get a spinoff from a hurricane. So that's a risk, but we wanted to see, you know, are people more open to that risk? And then you also, you know, cut down the heat substantially. If you move it a few weeks later in July, it's, you know, on average 4 or 5 degrees hotter.
Scorching.
But it's a lot drier. Mm-hmm. It is almost completely dry in that time frame. But then, I mean, we're in August now, but you look out the window right now here in Tennessee, it's been raining for 3 days. Yeah. So, what it boiled down to is it is a little more unexpected than it has been in the past. And that just is what it is. June is, you know, it's not only the best time of year, percentage wise, to do the show, but we also heard that it's what people wanted. Mm-hmm. People want it to stay mm-hmm. the same, but The most remarkable thing on that first survey, which I feel like is why we are even here right now, and have announced that we're doing the show again, is that over 90% of the people that responded to that survey, and almost 40,000 people responded to that survey, told us that they would come in 2026. 90%.
Wow.
That's not what we were expecting at all. So I think that that was kind of like, I don't know, I was super inspired by that. I think a lot of people on the team were, obviously, like, on the business side, that's a pretty good thumbs up to figure out how to make this thing happen. So I feel like that, to me, that was kind of the catalyst of this whole thing. Like, just seeing how much the fans want it to happen. Like, you know, we just went through this and we're still telling you we'll come next year. That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that community thing, it's until you see it and feel it. And I mean, we do a show every week about an event in June. I don't think people can quite grasp how, like you said, that ownership. It's amazing to me, all the different people that we run into that have their own camps and their own family things and their own, I mean, and they all talk about it, like you said, like it's mine, you know, I own this festival. This is what I want. And this is what I want to tell Brad and Corey. I want, you hear that all the time.
Speaking of which, you want to take a break, Barry, and then we'll get to some of these Discord questions from listeners.
Let's do it.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Yeah, we reached out to listeners to this show and members of our Discord and asked you guys to send questions that for Corey and Brad, knowing they would be on. And I know, Russ, you kind of pulled some of them are duplicates. So let's go. What's the first one?
Yeah, let's start with there's a lot of questions about this Thursday welcome party. Can you touch on that? Is it going to be one single artist? Is there going to be a super jam? Is there going to be, I guess everyone's just kind of, because it's never happened before like this. What can we expect Thursday?
Yeah, we could spend the rest of the show on Thursday, but we won't. But go ahead, guys.
I'll take this one. Our vision for Thursday is, yeah, it's definitely going to be good on the talent side, right? It's going to be, you know, artists that I think it's going to be an artist that is exciting enough to come just for that. Right. But I think we're also kind of trying to look at it as like an Olympic opening ceremony type thing. Like we're trying to plan, you know, a bunch of fun Bonnaroo craziness, for everyone to experience together in that field. And you know, I don't want to share too much. I'm really excited about the direction that that's heading. I would absolutely show up for it. And I don't think we 100% know, all the details. You know, is it one artist? Is it multiple? You know, how long does it last? What time does it start? I think that stuff's going to come out later. But the goal is to make it really, really special and sort of a can't miss, very Bonnaroo thing. I don't know, man. What one of the things when we went to Glastonbury, you know, they kind of hit their Thursday like we do, but they have a big opening celebration, and there's so much energy out there, and it was super cool. So I think there's a lot that we can do within the Bonnaroo universe to kind of start a new tradition there. And make it really, really fun and special.
But just to clarify, Centaroo on Thursday is not going to look like it has the last 10, 12, 13 years, right? We're not this, that, the other are completely dark for the day. Is that what we're thinking?
I would say details-wise, I would expect the 2/10 to 100% not operate.
Crushes my soul,
and,
guys.
And obviously, Witch Stage has never been on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then, like, outside of that, like, I think it's a little too early to tell for sure. But the plan is definitely to focus on doing something in the What Stage area.
So, I want to add a little bit of
please
color,
do
a little bit of color here. Well, the first thing that I want to say, just for what Corey and I and the rest of the team were thinking about this whole time, you know, for these statements and the messaging that we've put out about what next year will look like, a big piece for us was to try to remain as transparent as possible about what was going on and what we were talking about behind the scenes. And part of that transparency was just us. We didn't want to feel like we were ever going to surprise people with something. So that meant that we decided we needed to give a heads up that Thursday would be different, even if we didn't have all the answers to all the questions yet about what that meant. So, like Corey said, we're still figuring some of that out. There could be things that change, but what we didn't want to do, we would rather feel like we took away and then ended up giving back some more than just surprise you all at once of like, oh, we're taking all this away. So just when you think about the messaging for next year, just keep that context in mind that the transparency was really important for us. And real quick, Barry, before I forget the other point that I wanted to bring
sure,
up.
Sure.
Brian, to what you were, or I totally understand where you're coming from, Brian, like about Thursday.
I love it, man. I love Thursday.
Yeah. And I think that we will find ways to still have that same feeling, on Thursday. I want to just point out that, so one of the notes in the release is that we're lowering the capacity of the show, which at the end of the day means we're taking revenue away, which means we have to find expenses to save on.
Understood.
And as far as Thursday goes, I just want to point out, you know, we can still invest money in when we're saving money at a show like Bonnaroo, it doesn't mean that it has to reflect in the level or what talent you're able to see. We save a lot of money by just not having to put security and medical and stagehands and all and an extra day of hotel nights and lunches and dinners and breakfast, like all of that stuff that's not just the artist that goes on stage, but what it takes to like turn the lights on at one of those tents or one of the stages. So just keep that in mind as like a framework for some of the, you know, other questions that you might ask or other stuff, information that we might give you is like, when we're looking for ways to save money on this show, the first thing is not for us to go, well, how can we just book smaller bands or less bands or anything like that?
Along those lines, we got maybe a little bit ahead of ourselves. The major changes, if you will, are no Tuesday entry, right? You're moving to Wednesday and the Thursday thing. So I'm curious, kind of you just answered it a little bit, but when you guys sat down and said, okay, 90%, 40,000 people, 90% say they're coming back. What do we have to give them? What are the key core things and what are a few of the things that we can talk about? And I assume Tuesday was one of them. Because again, that's something you have to staff, right?
Awesome thing about Tuesday is like one of the biggest expense line items is like per day just opening the campgrounds. That's a really, really, really big expense. And that's an expense we decided to take on when we added the Tuesday entry option because it makes the entrance experience take a lot less time for fans. But it's an easy trade-off because with the reduced capacity, you are basically, you know, cutting the gates by the amount of people that typically come in on the Tuesday. So we're able to, you know, offer that same experience and just have it open one less day. So that was a win-win. That felt like a really easy, convenient decision on our end.
You've got about 20% of the fans that already on a year like this year, 15 to 20% that are still showing up after Thursday night into Friday morning, surprisingly. And, you know, you're at 10 to 15% on Tuesday. You know, the heavy days are Wednesday, Thursday. And we just felt like with the reduction on capacity that we're talking about, that we could get away with not needing as much lead. The Tuesday thing was strictly from give us more time to get everybody on the farm. But with the numbers that were typically showing up on Tuesday and the reduction on capacity for 26, it just felt like a whole day of staffing that we didn't really think we would need was an easy way for us to look at saving some dollars.
Is there a new parking entry structure here to how you guys get people on the farm before the show itself? I mean, is that a big part of? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Tuesday, Wednesday staggered, Thursday staggered parking had some or entry had something to do with getting people in. Correct?
Yeah.
And where do you go and do you change that from here with that change of the dates?
I think the changes will be something that fans don't even notice, which will be just how we load the property. Right now, we obviously park starting at the arch and then load backwards, but there's little trigger points. So like when a line of cars gets to a certain place, they'll reroute and start camping another area. And I think with the reduction on the capacity, because we're going to no longer camp certain areas that might be more prone to or susceptible to weather, that will just mean that some of those interior triggers will change, because there will just be areas that we have camped in the past that we won't. There's not going to be any, you know, from a fan experience or from a buyer standpoint, there's not going to be anything that you notice as a change other than not being able to come on Tuesday.
I just think there's a few people out there that might be worried that we could go back to park like backed up interstate I-24 kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern.
It's not a not no.
I think the math works. Like the amount of people that we're processing on the Wednesday and Thursday will remain similar to the amount of people that we process Wednesday and Thursday the past couple of years, where people have had like maybe 2-3 hour waits at the very, very most peak hours. So
here's something for all the Reddit and Discord people to help us spread the word on this. You know, we've talked to you guys multiple times on a bunch of different areas about how important the data is that we collect. And what I can tell you when it comes to getting cars in and not having traffic, the math that we have works if people listen to us about when to show up. That's why we put all these intricate charts together. And
you're asking for the moon, Brad.
I know,
you're asking for the moon.
Listen, it'll work even when people work against us. But what I'm saying is it works. It works really good if people listen to us. And it works okay if people don't listen to us.
We got backed up on Tuesday this year because everybody came right in the middle of one of those red spikes that we put on those graphs, and then it's just like once that happens, you can't really catch up. So
yeah,
does this feel like and I've used this word on the show the last couple of weeks, does this feel like a reset year while you refigure things out, or does this feel like this is probably the way forward?
I don't really see a need. I want to see how this year goes. I want to get out of it and see what fans thought of this setup, just how things go logistically, and then start looking ahead. I mean, we've obviously talked about it, but I think it's better to just like let this thing happen, see how it goes, and then, you know, kind of do the same thing we did this year. Like, get information from the fans, see what they like, see what they didn't like, and then look at how we want to move forward. I don't think it does us any good to try to like start planning that right now.
Yeah, because one of the questions was the possibility of Tuesday entry being added in the future, but it sounds like probably too early to make that decision, right?
I would say anything is possible.
Yeah, Russ, the truth is, you know, we have a year that's a down year because of sales are down because of the lineup. We don't need Tuesday. You know, if we've got 50,000 people coming out there. We don't need Tuesday. If we've got 40,000, I hope that never happens again. But I, like, the Tuesday thing is a necessity for the operation. So there's boxes that get checked on if it's necessary and needed or if it's not. So that'll kind of flex either way.
I'd like to get on to another one from Discord, but really fast, in the quickest way you want to answer it, Brad. What percentage can you tell us that we're going down in capacity? If we're all in the neighborhood of thinking it's 80,000, we've always said for 22 years, are you talking 10% down, 20% down at a capacity number?
I would say between 10 and 20. It's not a hard number yet. We're still doing a bunch of evaluating on the site and redrawing the whole thing, but I would put it in the ballpark of 10 to 20.
Okay, that's good enough. What do you got, Russ?
Let's switch gears and let's talk about the Infinity stage for a minute, because there was some people that really do kind of want to know more about what happened there. It almost seems like what we were delivered wasn't quite what was sold. Any thoughts on that? And
got lots of thoughts.
You can tell us about.
Yeah, Brad's taking this one.
Shocking. Brad has thoughts. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I got lots of thoughts. Here's what I'll tell you, and you can pick this up by just reading the internet, which I unfortunately do too much.
You do.
if you got inside one of the zones, you had the best show of your life. If you couldn't get in it, you had the worst show of your life, and it sounded like shit. That's what it boils down to. And the reason that whole stage is challenging from the very beginning was that we had to make it at scale. They had only ever built one single of those immersive audio zones at an event for, let's call it, 1,500 people. And we knew from the beginning that if we were going to do something like that at Bonnaroo, we had to make the throughput high enough that a lot more people could experience it. And we thought we were going to accomplish that by building three of them, which had never been done before. And what happened was we did too good of a job programming it, and three wasn't enough. We needed seven of them. And so so what happened was the people that wanted to go see Rebecca Black and couldn't get anywhere near it, they're just going with, this is the dumbest sounding piece of shit I've ever heard of. Brad Parker's an idiot. He should quit and never work in the business again.
Yeah, you do read all those notes. Yes.
and the people that...
So you got my email.
And the people that were able to get inside one of the shows had a great time. I mean, we've got tons of videos of people getting interviewed saying it's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
And show me a negative comment from the tractor beam set.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, all in all, to wrap that conversation up, moving into 26, we had to find a way to cut expenses, right? And a way to cut expenses is not to triple down on the most expensive stage that we've ever built to make it work. So,
everybody hate it.
Yeah. So, will there be something with immersive audio that we try to figure out down the road? Maybe. Yeah. But like, it was not in the cards for us to move quickly enough to figure out what 2026 looked like and communicate that. So, yeah. I'm not gonna apologize for it.
Perfect answer.
I'm not gonna apologize for it, because if you got in, it was awesome, and if you didn't, I'm sorry.
Well, the wild thing is everybody who got in is not on Discord. I don't think, because I haven't read any of that
except for Bosco. my buddy Bosco. He supports anything I do. I love that guy.
Yeah. Speaking of Bosco, he had a question, and I think I've heard it mentioned a couple other times. You're moving the UFO stage from Where in the Woods into Cineroo. Someone just said, well, why not just bring Calliope back? And I think I know the answer, but I'll let you talk to that.
Calliope's a trademark name. End of sentence.
Yep. That's Walter Productions runs it, right?
Have to be able to license and get the permissions to use the name, and currently not able to do that. So... we want to create the same vibe as that, but we got to come up with, we got to name it ourselves and make it a little bit of our own and not just copy somebody else.
Talk about Outeroo and some of that programming and cost savings and all that. Did that come into the conversation? I mean, there's a lot happening the last couple of years all over the farm. Does that
stress
you guys? In my view, I would think it would.
I think that we kind of it feels like to me that we kind of righted the ship on Outeru going into this past year. I think it got to be a lot, arguably too much. We had a lot of stuff happening at certain parts of the day that, you know, we were putting resources into that wasn't being attended at all in some cases. You know, there were some whole activations, like the year that we put the stage over next to Group, that basically all weekend it was dead. So we kind of just spent some time, you know, going into this past year, looking at what we were doing out there as a whole. And it felt like where we landed this year was pretty solid. You know, what we're hearing from people is we need House of Yes. We need places to relax, during the day. We need resources like restrooms and ice and food. And programming is kind of second to that. And then, you know, we're also hearing, especially in, you know, some of the circles that we're most active in, that we want to do stuff. We being the community, like we want you guys to let us do things. And we did a lot of that this year and it was sick.
Expand on that just a little bit, I think, because I think that's cool. I think it's so cool that people are like wedding parties and of their own music, and whether it's, you know, the beer exchange, which has been around and is sort of an organized thing versus, you know, church boners do their thing. You don't necessarily have to touch or do anything with some of those, right? Just be aware of them. Is that, I mean,
with some of them, yes. Some of them require a decent bit of, effort, but all of them are, you know, from the brains of fans, and they are doing the heavy lifting. Which is, I mean, it lets us do more out there, and it lets, you know, them be a part of the experience and put on a party for their fellow campers, which is pretty sick.
Right.
Speaking of needing more, you said more amenities potentially for Outeru, just better relaxation areas. Is that where in the Woods is headed, is more of like a Grove Part 2 kind of thing? Yeah. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's still going to be stuff to interact with in there, and it's still going to be vibey, and it's still going to, you know, be a little journey to walk through there, especially at night, which is awesome. But I think...
Well, it's a wooded area. We should... Yeah, it's a wooded area. We should use it for some shade.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the gist of it. And then, like, if you move that stage into Centeroo, and your capacity is so much more flexible. Like, I mean, I've been to the Woods when it's pretty full, and I've been out there when it's too full. And I mean, the most people that you can really get engaged with the show out there is, you know, maybe a couple thousand before you start pushing back into the trees too far. But if you go to that corner over there, I mean, it feels like an amphitheater, so you can really like put as many people out there as they want to, which is a huge advantage. And it's not limiting like the Woods are.
Yeah. My last thought on Outeru, any thoughts on the Who stage? You didn't get enough of sample size to know whether it worked out there. I wouldn't guess, but any thoughts on what you would do with the Who stage?
I don't know what we're doing about the Who stage yet. I mean, building some of the pros and cons with the Who stage is it's kind of, sometimes it has a lot of people at it, and sometimes those bands aren't really getting seen, which is the whole goal of the stage in the first place.
Yeah.
Part of it is when you program it, which this year we tried to program it earlier in the day when there wasn't as much going on and more people were in the campgrounds where the stage was. So theoretically you could get larger crowds in front of that stage and help grow those bands, which is the whole, point of the stage in the first place. But I don't know. We're obviously like helping launch new artists that we think are awesome, and, you know, fostering talent is and has always been a priority at Bonnaroo. So I think that that's something that we're thinking about as we're trying to figure out where everything lands this year. You know, maybe it is finding a new way to do the Who stage. Maybe it's something else entirely. But I think that the goal of what the Who stage does is still a huge priority for us. And that's all I can really say right now, because we're still trying to figure it out. But sure, that's like my general vibe on it.
I know people always wonder, especially if you bought a ticket for 2025 because you wanted to see band XYZ. How much do you guys try to get some of those people back, some of those acts back? I know, because we've done this a long time, talking to Benson and his bunch, that you guys are planning, you know, next year, months ago already, certain acts.
Yeah, that's also one of our questions.
Yeah. So go ahead. Who asked the question? Maybe they ask it better than I just did.
Let me find it real quick. Basically, the question was, are there any plans to get many artists back from 25, trying to get any of them for the lineup 2026, or are you just trying to book different artists?
Okay, it's kind of two combos there, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's already artists that have reached out from this year that want to come back and play next year, and we're having those conversations. And there's artists that played this year that we would want to come back next year that haven't reached out, and we're going to have those conversations. And it also just is all at, you know, like we've talked about before, it's also just going to come down to, are these artists touring next year?
Sure.
At all?
Sure.
It's a lot of
hypotheticals at this point.
Yeah.
There's definitely going to be bands who were on the lineup this year, on the lineup next year,
100%.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
Cool.
Then this is questions for both of you. Somebody wants to know, which performances are both you, Brad, and Corey personally most upset that you didn't get to see?
The Kinga shows.
Oh, me too.
I think the late night Megadeth, probably up there for me.
Oh, yeah. That was a damn bummer.
That's probably up there. I'm trying to think.
I gotta look at the lineup.
Yeah,
again.
I gotta refresh.
I know, I've kind of blocked it out of my mind.
The late night Justice set, that was gonna be really special. Here's what I'll say: after seeing Olivia Rodrigo at Lollapalooza two nights ago, that show would have been incredible on the farm.
Like, I think you're right.
It is a rock and roll show.
Really?
She
is not a pop star. She is a rock and roll star.
I saw she had Cuomo out there from Rivers from Weezer, but
they did two songs out there.
I would not have thought anybody was going to say to me sometimes, Olivia Rodrigo is a rock show.
When you see the show, it's a rock show. It was very impressive. She probably had all of 85 or 90,000 people at Lolla watching her, and it was really, the Weezer thing was cool because the context was the first show she ever went to was Weezer
a kid. Nice.
And so they played two songs with her in the middle of her set. It was awesome.
So we can expect her in 26 is what you're saying.
I don't know about that, but I'm just saying like it was really good. And the John Summit show.
Yeah,
the production that, you know, he had spent a lot of money to build a personal production just for Bonnaroo. He was very excited, and it was going to be really special. And that's one I would say, you know, when the time is right and we can make it, we can figure it out. He definitely wants to come back and play. So
cool. All right.
I would love to get him back there, because there's like videos of him like going on a run around Attaroo when it was raining. And he did a pop-up that was actually like four RVs down from mine that I slept through. But and he was like out there, you know, all day on Thursday, like checking out, some other sets and stuff. And I don't know, that's kind of like the old school, like what I feel like what more artists used to do at Bonnaroo, that I always like thought was super cool. So I love that energy, and I'm not an EDM guy, really at all. So it's just really cool to like see that, and have that kind of personality out there on the farm.
So you mentioned King Giz, and there was a lot of hype for their residency. Any chance, maybe if not King Giz, another type of residency, a different artist that could do potentially for 26?
Yeah, I had that question myself.
Yeah.
We maybe all agree that needs Australian... to be a thing. Yeah.
Okay.
We all agree that the residency needs to be a thing.
It's definitely a goal. It's hard. It's obviously a big lift from the artist, so it's a long conversation to get someone to buy into it, but... it's definitely a goal for Brian and the booking team.
Well, for everybody who's banging on you guys for not doing jam anymore, I mean, there's your place to start right there with a residency kind of thing is a jam band thing. And what about the people who are going to say, are you bringing more jam bands? Speak to them for a minute, because I am one
of
those
guys. Yeah, we've had some questions about that.
I know you don't like it.
I mean, Daniel Donato, Dogs in a Pile, we got a big Goose show coming up. King Giz fans hate when you say this, but
I know
they're not that far off, man.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
I mean, I'm an old school jam guy. I'm pretty big fan of King Giz. So, I mean, this is a multi-genre festival. You can't do a festival this big with just jam bands anymore. It's just not a thing.
No, of course not.
So I will say every single year there's going to be a good presence of jam on the farm, and there always will be.
Yeah, and one thing to keep in mind on the residency front is it takes a really special kind of artist to even want to have that conversation with them, because you really need someone who can play three different sets, potentially in three different spaces sonically, genre-wise. You know, you don't just want someone who's really popular that's going to just play three different sets and maybe they switch up the songs. Like it takes a really special kind of artist to want to, for that residency to really have a lot of value. So there's a few different ways we can pivot there, and we'll hopefully find one of them and land the plane for 26.
What else, Russ?
Well, let me say real quick, cause I know we've got to do this and let you guys go. I know we're all busy, but I just wanted to say thanks again for that panel thing, Brad. Thursday into Friday was one of the weirdest 24 hours, and I know it was for everybody, but that was such a great, great event, personally amazing to do. And then, you know, what happened. So
no, thanks for having me. That was I had a great time, and I feel like the changes Kelsey was a little afraid at first. I feel like the changes we made to that nonprofit village and the shade tent were maybe the best thing we've done in the past few years.
I was so freaking impressed, man. I mean, I've only kind of glanced at Planet Roo over the years, and I got there. I was like, whoa, this is it now? Wow. Yeah. It was very cool.
Very nice. I just wanted to mention that. But go ahead, Russ.
Well, since you mentioned the Thursday thing, that our live podcast we got to do, and I know, unfortunately for Roo Bus and for Roo Ham, you know, they didn't get to do their panels. Is there a chance they could come back and do them next year?
Oh, yeah.
Has that been talked about? Yeah.
I mean, that has not been talked about yet, but we can just go ahead and say yes, and somebody on our team can figure it out.
Awesome.
Fair enough.
There you go, Kelsey. Yeah.
Fair enough. Get to work, Kelsey, and Planaroo.
Let's see. A couple other questions. It was mentioned that, you know, we're probably going to wait until the lineup comes out before you start selling tickets. Does that mean any chance of a lineup coming out sooner this year or next year?
Or just a different time frame on that, maybe.
Or just a different time frame for selling? And
I think it's too early to say.
Okay.
I will say, though, the reasoning behind not selling tickets had nothing to do with trying to get on sale earlier, like, or announcing the lineup earlier.
Gotcha.
It really just has to do with like how many times in the year we're trying to get people's attention and say, look, tickets are on sale. Like it's an attention economy that we're in, and you only get so many chances.
Well, and that's so true.
For us, it was more about the lowering the frequency of how many times we're sending you a text or trying to get you to read an Instagram post. It wasn't necessarily about, you know, shortening any sort of timeline for putting the lineup out.
Gotcha. And then somebody also asked about they heard something about perks for people that bought 2025 tickets. Of course, I know you gave 100% refund. That's a pretty good perk right there.
I think the plan is, you know, if we're doing what we've been doing the last few years, where the lineup comes out on like a Monday or Tuesday, and then later in the week the tickets go on sale. There would be a day in the middle there after the lineup, but before a public on sale, where folks who were ticket holders for this year would get an opportunity to buy at the lowest price.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we're thinking on that. That seems like a no-brainer.
Last one for me real quick, and we can still chew it up for a minute, but speaking of price, where are we at on that? We're going to try to stay where we're at, up a percentage, down a percentage? What are you guys thinking? What are you looking at?
We're going to try and stay where we are unless we feel like there's a really big shift in the value of the product that we're asking you to pay that price for. So, we're definitely not increasing prices. We will, if anything, we will be flat. It's really just going to depend, Brian, on what comes together, who we can get for what artists we can get for Thursday. What does that look like? I mean, the other headliners, I mean, it's all gonna, all of that obviously plays into how we value our show year to year. That's not really an answer, but it's the only answer I can give you like right now in this moment.
Fair enough.
All right, first week, we're in the first week of August. So, like I said, a month and a half removed. How do you guys feel right now?
I feel great. I did not feel great for about 6 weeks. I feel good now because for a minute we were just in a gray area of like, what's even happening? Like, and now it's like, we know the show's happening, we know the changes we're making, and now we just got to hone all that in and still make a really great product for the fan. And I know that we will do that. It's just going to take time. But overall, I feel great. I mean, June is probably the hardest month that I've had in my life since my dad died, to be completely honest with you. Reading way too many way too many comments on the internet that I was letting take up space on my brain. But
Corey, what about you?
I was in a hole for like a couple weeks. It was bad. I mean, we publicly said, and I mean this, that I don't know if there's anywhere on the internet that exists where people can weigh in on whatever decisions that Bonnaroo makes and how they feel about it. That I haven't read. I don't think it exists though. I've read tens, 20, 30, 50,000 comments. And some of that shit sucked. But I think you just have to do it, you know, like you have to get a vibe for where people are at. You know, some of it's worthless information, people just being mean or people just sad, you know, but I think we also learned a lot about sentiment and even specific things that people thought, you know, didn't go as well or went well or want changed next time or what they want to happen next year. So that was a really tough time. But I'm back at baseline now. I'm starting to get excited. I think. I mean, I was really excited when we finally got everything together and were able to like fully green light a plan to come back. That was a good week. That was a really, really good week, actually. And now we have to figure out how to do it, you know? So
I think one of the, and I've read some of those too, and I think I've tried to make the point, and we have on here, it's when people write about C3 and Live Nation as if it's some faceless entity versus it's Brad and Corey.
Dude,
that's one of the points I've tried to make. These are people that made this decision.
This shit gets infuriating sometimes, man. There's literally like 10 people, maybe, Brad, that are like actually involved in making these decisions. And like, we're literally just like doing our best as humans. Some of our surveys fucking sucked and some of the questions were terrible. But it's because it was my dumbass making them. Like, I'm literally just trying to like figure out what people want, you know, like we're not experts at everything. And that's how we're
Bonnaroo fans that somehow just accidentally ended up being very important in the decision making process.
Yeah,
that's
do all you actually are. Want some that's like corporate are. Bigwigs like making your festival, or do you want like a bunch of idiots like us doing it? I think it's
team
the latter,
idiot.
So
team idiot, right?
Oh,
here.
That's getting clipped. I know.
You're goddamn right. It is.
Oh, I don't want that. I don't want that to get clipped. Corey, why'd you say it?
It's happening now.
I love it. But it's important.
It is. All right, Corey, one last thing. I know Boot Scootin' Boogie Nights has a pretty big tour coming up. Do you want to plug that real quick?
Yeah,
I know
you guys are getting some nice audiences, man. When you
first Bonnaroo 26 confirmation, I'm saying it.
It's the welcoming party with Boot Scootin' Boogie Nights.
Oh, yeah, that would be a flop. I don't think that would go too well. Yeah, no, the band's doing good. We, I'm only able to do some of those shows now that I have a family, and there's a really, really great guy that I'm good friends with. His name's Michael Jones. He's actually got a project called Lazarus Lake that's really good. He just dropped a record. It's a really good country record. But he fills in for me when I'm out and does a fantastic job. But yeah, we've got a massive fall tour. I'll be on some of those dates. I'm gonna try to tell people sometime soon which ones it's gonna be. But yeah, if you like 90s country, you should go to a Boot Scootin' Boogie Night. It's a pretty good time.
It's a big time. It's a big time.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
All right, Brad, Corey, what did we touch everything that you guys, we tick all the boxes on your list, or is there anything else you wanted to make sure to get into and mention?
I thought you guys would ask some harder questions, honestly. I don't know what they would be, but I think we covered everything that I expected that we would talk about.
I mean, we could pile on, but it sucked for everybody.
I can turn into a comment section real quick, Brad.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. No, I think we touched everything. I mean, there's, like we said, I mean, there will be follow-ups here, because a lot of the things for next year, we still just don't have the final answer on yet. So I think we've given you everything that we have up to this point. I don't think there's any information that Corey and I know at the moment that you guys don't, other than artists we're talking to, but outside of that.
So it's not lost on us that your time is valuable, and we appreciate you giving it to us when you do.
Absolutely.
Just real quick, I know a smaller, or you're cutting out some of the camping areas, but the camps themselves, any major changes there? I mean, the a la carte thing that you went to a couple of 3 years ago seems to be working. People like it. I know you tweak and twist and it gets bigger or smaller, but any major changes?
I don't foresee any, major like inventory or what's the word I'm looking for? Like product changes. Like, I think everything is going to be a rinse and repeat of this year. Like, as far as the different options and
like the buying
moon colony and
the buying experience, anyways. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. And I would expect the carpool thing to be a permanent. I think that's probably going to, in some form or fashion, be a permanent thing.
Oh, one day ticket sales. We didn't ask about that. Stays.
Yeah. I think it'll stay. Yeah. I mean, it's like we've said, it's a way for us to get people's foot in the door for Bonnaroo. It's a really important marketing point for that. It's the lowest barrier of entry that we have to come experience the show. And, the amount we can sell and where they park and stuff like that might change, but the option of being able to buy it, I think, is going to stick around.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
I view that as a feeder program. It's a really small percentage of the total capacity for that day. And I will say, like, if you were trying out a one-day ticket for the first time on Friday, I know that that experience was not a fun one. So I would definitely ask those people to, like, definitely consider giving us another shot next year. I that was worst-case scenario. And I think if they give it another run, they'll have a really good time.
All right. Thank you guys both so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you guys. Good talking to you.
Catch up. Yeah,
always fun.
For sure.
All right.
Yeah, hope to have you back on sometime.
Let's do it.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.